there's something the Lord said to some Pharisees, and I'm not calling you Pharisees at all, but we know some of those same tendencies can rub off on us, and I feel like I need a renewal. I'm hoping this meeting will help a renewal. I'm looking forward to getting a new start in the year end, in the new year, 2006. But I want to just read you one verse that even though he was talking to the Pharisees here, and he meant that absolutely to them, and in a relative sense, though, I think it applied to us. So I want to give you some encouragement about this. Over in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Christ, he's going to be quoting from Isaiah. And it hits me kind of hard sometimes when I read this. In fact, another scripture hit me also. I'll tell you about that in a minute. I don't know where this is right now. I know it's in the book of Luke, but I'm not going to try to find it, but I'll tell you I can quote it. Anyway, he taught these Pharisees, and I'll read verse 7 and 8, because sometimes we do act hypocritically. Look at verse 7 and 8 here. He says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias," and that's Isaiah, "prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. Their heart is far from me." And I feel that way sometimes. We all know how to talk a good game. We church people do. And we ought to talk a good game. We ought to say the right thing, but sometimes our heart is pretty cold. And one verse that really gets me sometimes is, it's in, like I say, I think it's in Luke. I'm not sure where it is. You can probably find it. Maybe the 16th chapter. I'm not going to try to find it right now. But it kind of gets me sometimes. He said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And sometimes when I consider what I've been saying all day, it doesn't think very well about my heart. I want to try to have a better conversation. I want the Lord to help me to do what Psalm 71, 8, verse 8 says. It says, well, I got to have to read it. I can usually quote it, but I'm going to read it to you. I want to do this year if I can, more and more all the time. In Psalm 71, 8, let's encourage each other along the way. But I love this verse in Psalm 71, verse 8. "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, with thy honor all the day." And you can contrast that with what I just did reading, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." We can all get a good talk. We got enthused about the Tigers winning the Detroit Bowl up there and the Motor City Bowl, wherever it was. I know a lot of guys talked about that and got excited about them beating Gonzaga last night. And that's okay to get excited about stuff like that. But lots of times we don't talk about the Bible that much. I want God to really help us this year. I'm just going to give you several scattering verses. They're all together really on my mind, and the thought is, but let's work real hard on this year over in Proverbs chapter 4, because this is where it all starts. It all starts in the heart. Some people think it things out from the outside. It really starts on the inside and works out. We got to work on the inside first. And we can kind of go on momentum for a while, but we know if we got a cold heart, it's not going to last forever. So the Lord knew that, and he made the wise man say in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Whenever we find our heart getting cold, we ought to get kind of alarmed and try to do something about it. So let's read that verse again. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Everything that comes out of my life eventually is going to come out of my heart. Like my actions, if they go bad, it's because my heart went bad first. And so we had to work hard to keep our heart where it ought to be. And so a good psalm, when I won't read the whole psalm, you've heard me read this many times here anyway, Greg Chapel, one of my favorite psalms. I pray it myself a lot of times for my own self. It's Psalm 51. And I won't read the whole psalm at all, but I want to use just a few verses to show you David was repenting here. But he didn't want just some kind of an outward repentance. It's easy to outward repent. Well, not easy to even outward repent, perhaps, to change our actions. But really, we want our heart changed. And Jeremiah said this. I won't give you the chapter on it, because I'm not going to try to turn out. I go so many places, we get everybody confused. But I can quote this one, too. I'm staying in Psalm 51, but this goes along with it. Jeremiah prayed. He said, "Turn me, Lord, and I shall be turned. After I was turned, then I repented." And that's one prayer we can all pray. If we find our heart not where it ought to be, at least we can pray that prayer, can't we? "Turn me, Lord, I shall be turned. After I was turned, then I repented." So we can pray God to do that for us. And so in Psalm 51, David, when he was, you know, he got kind of hard-hearted for a while. So his heart got cold, didn't it? I'm sure he was going through the emotions. And I'm sure it would be accurate to say of David what Jesus Christ said, "David, you draw nigh me with your mouth. Your mouth speaks a great flowing word, but your heart's far from me, because you've got sin in your life that's unrepented of, and you're still being the king of Israel. You're still going through the motions, but you're not what you ought to be." So when the prophet came down there, and God, by his Holy Spirit, was so good to David, because, you know, I thought about that prophet. A lot of times when people brought David news, he killed them. You remember that time the guy came to David, and he thought he'd be bearing good news? He said, "Hey, I killed Saul." David said, "Well, I'm going to kill you then. You kill the Lord's anointed." So a lot of times when people came to David and they thought they had good news, it was not good news, and he could kill them. So I can imagine how brave that prophet must have been. He came to David. And when he gave him that parable about the one ewe lamb and all the lambs that the rich man had, and about how that he took that one ewe lamb and sacrificed it, and David's anger was kindled. He said, that man's going to die. And then the prophet said, thou art the man. If the Holy Spirit hadn't been with that, David probably killed him. But the Holy Spirit with him. So thank God that not only was he smitten by the word, he was also smitten in his heart. And that's a blessing when God smites our hearts. It's not pleasant to have a mournful heart, but sometimes we need to mourn because of our sin. You know, sometimes, well, I don't like to mourn at all, but sometimes it's necessary to mourn. In fact, God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. And so that's a, and then you read that 7th chapter of the 2 Corinthians there, it's a real intense two or three verses about how a person acts, they have godly sorrow. But anyway, I say I'll have to get to Psalm 51. Let's read just a few verses. I'll just read the first 10 verses of Psalm 51. And it shows how intent David was. Not only did he want his outward life cleaned up, he wanted his inward life cleaned up. He wanted to start from the very inside. And I'm sure it was a slow cooling. I don't think David got cold all at once. I don't think we get cold all at once either. I'm going to make some statements before we get through, just a few statements about trying to really radically try to draw near to the Lord, try to put some real effort to draw near to the Lord. But in Psalm 51, let's read the first 10 verses. He's in some state of mourning now. This is good for him to have this state of mourning. It's good that he was sorry to repentance because he did repent. It's a great psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Those are amazing statements, aren't they? As you have had pointed out to you, he uses at least three different expressions to describe sin. He's not trying to minimize his sin. He's trying to maximize his sin. Let's read those again. He said, blot out my transgressions, number one. Get rid of my, he called them transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. He wants to get all the iniquity out of his life. Cleanse me from my sin. So transgressions, iniquity, and sin, he called it. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And that's a blessing. When God causes us to be miserable in our sins, it's a great blessing. Because that's what godly sorrow will bring us to repentance. When we get comfortable in our sin, get hardened, that's a real dangerous state to be in. And God allows the reprobates to become hardened. He mentioned that in Isaiah 6 and other places. So it's a blessing when God does get strike our heart. Maybe he'll strike some hearts tonight even to get a little bit uneasy about it. Lord, I just really need to get closer to you. Against thee only have I sinned and done this even by sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, be clear when thou judgest. Lord, I've really sinned against Bathsheba. I've sinned against the child that died. I've sinned against Israel. I've sinned against my own self. When you get right down to it, Lord, really, I've just sinned against thee. Against thee, ultimately, against thee only have I sinned, done this even by sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, be clear when thou judgest. That reminds us also, we're always in the eyes of God. We think we do things sometimes in secret, but he said it's always everything open and open before God with whom we deal. That's what kept Joseph from sinning, you might remember, whenever that the Potiphar's wife tried to get him to commit adultery with her. He said, how can I do this great wickedness against God? He had the ultimate idea of what sin was really against. Then getting down to now what I really want to get to. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin that my mother conceived me. I think he looked back over his whole life and said, Lord, I've been a sinner from the time I was just a little baby. I just really looked back on my life to see what a sinner I really am. Then he began to really want to get cleaned out on the inside. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. That's where God wants it. And you know what we got to do? Spend time in prayer. I think God gets us so busy sometimes we don't spend time in real quality prayer and we get dry. We may do our Bible reading, go to church even, go through the motions. But what we need is to have some quiet time with God. I want you to try this year to develop, even you young people. Brother Bruce, pray for you young people. I appreciate that, Brother Bruce. Yeah, I know he loved everybody in the church, old people and all the rest of them. He knows you young people at a vulnerable age. And you know, you're busy. Aren't y'all busy? You're busy. You want to be with people. Even during our meeting, you want to be with people. That's fine. You want to be with people just like you. Your kids have a big old time, have a lot of entertainment. We live in such an entertainment oriented world today that most people don't know how to be quiet anymore. But we need to learn how to be quiet. All you guys, want you this year to say, Lord, I want to practice having a quiet time every day, really, and sometimes have a long quiet time. Maybe sometimes we need to have special quiet times, maybe a long period of quiet time. Maybe even have a private day of fasting and prayer. If we want to really be strong, we've got to do that. So he said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He didn't want to get cleansed up good. He didn't want you to do a halfway job. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And he felt like he had broken bones. He felt so miserable. That's the way it is with our sins. It's there ever before us, and we're always kind of uneasy. We never can just have that freedom and joy that we want to have. I'm praying if anybody's got sin in their life, you'll be able to repent even tonight. That God bless you to confess him tonight, that you won't be hindered in our meeting. Because, you know, the devil would like for us to have sin in our life and come to this meeting. And like, I think you pray again, Brother Bruce, that we can leave all of our cares and our outside worries and all that aside. So the devil wants to distract us when we come to this meeting. He likes for us to think about all the things that can go wrong, that have gone wrong, all the worries and fears. And I pray God bless us to cast all our care upon him, including our sins, that we may have a free heart to just receive everything God got for us. That's what I'm hoping myself also. But sometimes we're so miserable, you know, and I'm glad God does make us miserable when we do live in sin. But it's a great freedom. It's a tremendous relief God gives us when we do are blessed to reconfess and repent of our sins. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Now, I'm going to read down to verse 12. I said I'd just read verse 10. I got to read definitely verse 12. Let's look at verse 10. This is the best one of all, probably. I love this verse by itself even. Create in me a what? You know that, don't you, Bible readers? Good. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes I know I'm in a wrong spirit, and I need to pray. I get grouchy. I get kind of touchy. Not very pleasant to be around. Maybe I've got some kind of worry. Maybe I've got some kind of fear. Maybe I've got some kind of guilt. And my family has to suffer, and all the people around me suffer. And so when we get into shape like that, we all say, Lord, there's something wrong in here. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And I mean to really come to God and take it to God and really spend some time with God. And God will cleanse us. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. And then verse 12, I'm going to read verse 13 too. I won't tell you more stories. I'm going to read verse 13 quick on this psalm, but it's such a great psalm. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. And I'm hoping we'll have the joy of the salvation of the Lord this week. Then, here's the beautiful part. When we get right with God, we can be a blessing to other people. When we're not right with God, we can't really be a blessing to anybody else. We're so introverted and self-absorbed because of our not having fellowship with God that we can't be free to help anybody else out. But isn't it great to get rid of all the weights and not thinking about ourselves all the time? We can really be free. And I hope that even at Grace Chapel, that we'll this week say, you know, I hope the people that are coming here, that I will not be thinking about my good time. I want them to have a good time in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be watching for people who may be lonesome. You young people, don't be in cliques. If you see somebody that's by themselves, make an effort to include them and talk to them. And maybe some kind of hint about have a quality conversation. You know, you never can tell. You save somebody's life. That's the truth. It's amazing sometimes. I know of two instances where people inadvertently save somebody's life. I was one of them myself. And I'll tell you about that, and I'll read this last verse in a minute. I had a friend one time, a young preacher friend, who was given to fits of depression. And he had gone to the University of Memphis, and he was a good friend of mine. So one night he called me and wanted me to come see him. And I didn't want to go, because I just had something to do. And so I said, I'm sorry, I can't come, I'm too busy. And so then he hung up, and so I got a funny feeling there's something about his voice wasn't right. There's something wrong somewhere. So I called him back immediately and said, hey, I'm coming on over there. So I went over there, and I wish I hadn't gone. At that time I did, because it was no big deal. We just hung out and just had a pretty good time. But he told me later, several years later, you know what? He said, you saved my life that night. He said, I got so depressed I fixed to commit suicide. He said, I reached out for help. He said, when you told me you couldn't come, he said, that sealed it. He said, I went to my room. He said, I got the razor after I slipped my wrist. And just as I fixed to do it, he said, somebody knocked on the door and said, hey, telephone. I went up there. So see, you don't know when you may save somebody's life, kids. You know, we don't know what's going on inside people's hearts. We got a lot of people that are miserable. You know, the devil makes us miserable. A lot of people seem like they're so smiley. Even grown-ups get this way, get so miserable. And they feel like I'm the worst thing in the whole world. Nobody loves me. Nobody understands me. We need to have an open ear for each other, an open heart for each other. I've been praying for God to give me the heart of Christ, compassion for his children. I don't have that like I ought to. You know, and Paul prayed in the Philippian letter that he said, I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful expression in it, that we might have the compassion of Jesus Christ, which is easy for us to find fault with each other, criticize each other, to dislike each other, maybe it's covered a little bit different, something like that. And we need to work on that really, really hard. And we need to love each other with a fervent love, don't we? With a burning, fervent love. And there's another story, but I won't tell that about the suicide. Just a lady that was blessed to be at the right time, at the right place, and saved somebody's life. And you never can say we do that. And if you don't save their life, it may maybe not that dramatic. You can still maybe save their happiness and maybe put them on the right track. I've known many times when people had conversations with somebody and that conversation clicked and they put them on the right course when they're on the wrong course. So let's say, Lord, you give me opportunity to do that. Help me to be useful this week. Anyway, what I was going to say that all for in verse 13 said it all. Here I am now, I'm out of fellowship with God. So God blessed me to repent. And I get in fellowship with God. Right? Then guess what? He's going to use me to help other people out. I've been down as low as a snake. I've done wrong. I deserve to be cast off of God's presence, but he graciously forgave me. He answered my plea. Got me back in fellowship with him. Then what am I going to do? This is wonderful, verse 13. Look here. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted into thee. Isn't that wonderful? When we're in a shape like that, we can do that. Now let me just read you a couple more scriptures, and some of you preachers get ready now. I've got to stop watching myself. I'm going to quit in a minute. I was going to call this radical Christianity, but I don't get the wrong. When I say radical, I don't mean just like I'm a fanatic. But I want us to practice some radical Christianity. And I'll explain that as I go along. We make a mistake sometimes. Now, you people that I know you, and the ones I know of you, which I know most of you will, are what I call good folks. You're church-going folks. Unless you've got a lot of secrets that I don't know about, you're above average. But we make a mistake, and we congratulate ourselves. Let me say what Paul said in the Corinthian letter. See, we can congratulate ourselves. You kids say, well, I'm not getting drunk tonight. I'm in church. So, Brother Zach, don't bug me. I'm doing fine. Don't get on my case. Don't say I need to make some radical steps towards God. That'd be easy for us to all say that. But we make a mistake if we do that. So here's what we're doing if we do that. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's what we do sometimes. We compare ourselves with others. And when we do that, we can make ourselves look good. Because what we're always going to do if we do that, find somebody worse than we are, it's easy to do that. And then we just have been pretty good. You know, I'm going to church here. I'm a pretty good kid. I'm doing well. So we can compare ourselves. And if we do that, we can get complacent. But Paul said if we do that, we make a big mistake. Look what he said in verse 12 here. 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. They're comparing this with each other, then they're not wise. What do we need to compare ourselves with? The standard God sets forth in his word right here. That's a very high standard. So we cannot be complacent and say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm better than the Joneses next door. I'm raising my kid better than they're raising theirs. At least they don't go to church. We're going to church anyway. We can all say that, but we don't do that because that's comparing ourselves with ourselves. We've got to compare ourselves with the standard of the word of God. Now, with that in mind, go over with me to 2 Timothy, and let me read you a few scriptures. I think that what you want in your life and what I want is for God to use us. Everybody that's a child of God, that's born again, that should be their desire, and is, I think, that we want God to use us. And so what we got to do is make ourselves usable. We got to make ourselves usable. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he begins to talk about that. I'll begin in verse 20, read just a couple of three verses now. I'm going to make some really good points here, so please pay attention. I got some real powerful points in a couple of these verses. All right, now we want to be usable. We love the Lord. We want God to use us. So, in chapter 2, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and I think he means those dishonorable things, we've got to purge ourselves. If a man purge himself, now this is a powerful verse. Look at these next two verses, really strong. Look at verse 20 and 21 and 22. You could almost preach a sermon out of one of these verses. Let's look at them. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Any kind of influence or sin or activity or attitude or habit that would disqualify ourselves from really serving God, we need to purge ourselves from those, right? And you think about some things tonight. Why don't you try to fill in some blanks right now? I'm not going to fill in for you. But why don't you fill some blanks in right now? Lord, this is bothering me. This activity is taking too much of my time away from God. This is dragging me down here. Fill in some blanks for me. I'm not going to fill in blanks for you. I'll fill in my own blanks. I got a whole bunch of blanks I got to fill in. Fill some blanks in right now, will you? Okay, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and that's going to be easy to do. We got to make a determined effort to do it. If we just kind of say, well, this is a nice little talk Brother Zach gave tonight, but I'm not going to do anything about that, then you won't get very far. But we got to make our mind up. We got to be determined by God's grace. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be, number one, a vessel unto honor. He's a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, I love that. That means set apart for a special use. That's what that word really means. And meet for the master's use. Isn't that wonderful? He's appropriate for the master's use. Prepared into every good work. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Let's look at those things again. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, meet for the master's use. Prepared into every good work. That's a great verse, isn't it? Now, look at this next verse. It's also full, chock full. There's three things I want to get out of this verse. And I want to say young people, listen, especially, because it's for all of us, but he says youthful, so I'm going to say young people, especially, but all of us. Look at it. Flee. Also youthful lust. The Lord lust means desire, strong desire. We usually think of sexual desire, but there are other desires also. And he didn't say walk away from them. He didn't say kind of saunter away from them. He said flee from them. That's a real strong word. I had some Greek students last couple of years, and we know that's a strong word right there. It means get out of there. We need to flee for any kind of a desire that would hurt us. We need to get away from it. I don't care if it's immorality or drugs or alcohol or tobacco or lots of other things we can name. We need to flee from it. You know what? I heard about a man this week that just grieved me. When I went one time up north to church, had a great meeting at this church in Maryland. And there's some enthusiastic song leaders. I mean, man, we had a meeting and a half. A bunch of our people went up there, in fact, from here in Grace Chapel. We had a powerful meeting. And one of the most enthusiastic song leaders, I just love that guy. He had a sweet smile. He had an enthusiasm. He was just singing loud, and he was just welcoming everybody. He was one of the most warm-hearted guys I've ever met. He had an absolutely beautiful wife. I mean, just a physically beautiful and a spiritually beautiful wife. And they adopted a child. I just found out this week, the guy got on drugs. And he got really bad. And so she forgave him lots of times. And he moved to another state, and where people didn't know him very well, got to the church down there, and even ripped some people off because of his drug habit, and got ruined his reputation. And so she took him back. And now, I understand the marriage is over with. She had all she could take. He came back home for 4 months, and everything they thought was going to be fine, and all of a sudden he's back at it again. Isn't that terrible? Oh, he should have fled, shouldn't he? Listen, folks, think and get a hold of us. You know that? Do you know think and get a hold of us? Think and dominate us. We need to be careful. And we need to flee youthful lust. Flee them. I want to tell you about pornography. It's terrible. I've been reading a lot about pornography lately. It'll get a grip on you that you just can't get away from it. Some people get gripped by that stuff. It's a strong, strong drive. And you can get where you're just absolutely obsessed with it. And the world, they're promoting that. So I want you guys, you young men and young women, but especially the young men, flee from it. Run. I mean, hide it. Get lost. I don't think any man, to be honest with you, should be in front of a computer by himself at night. I really don't. Not unless you get the biggest blocker in the world of that thing. I mean that, boys. No kidding, because it'll come up even when you don't want it to come up. So I'm begging you. You don't know how strong a desire that is. So that's one thing I want to mention to you. We got to flee youthful lust. We got to run from them. They'll ruin us, and they will dishonor God. So I want to encourage you, let's flee youthful lust. Anything that's bothering us, if there's some lust that's got to hold you so hard you can't get rid of, get some help from somebody. Find you a trusted individual that you know can keep their mouth shut, and they love the Lord, and do what it says in the book of James. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for the other, you may be healed. Because sometimes we do need help. We need to reach out. We have to reach out in the right way. But if we reach out in the right way, God got available help for us in His church. So we need to learn how to do that, be accountable to each other. So, he said, okay, flee youthful lust, okay? But you know what we got to do then? This next word is so strong. This word follow. Guess what? In the Greek, that's just a strong word, is that word flee. It means to pursue. You're running after somebody. So I love that. Isn't it great? So you're not just fleeing youthful lust. You're running as hard as you can for these good things. You're getting it. I mean, you're getting that Bible out and reading it. Like I told you about this man I've been reading that's overcome some sins. And he said, listen, there's not but one way I can stay out of sin. And that's how he said, I read my Bible an hour every morning. I pray an hour every morning. You may not be able to do an hour. This man's in full-time ministry work, so he can have more time flexibility. But I tell you, that's the kind of commitment we got to make. I'm telling you, fellas, that's the kind of commitment we got to make. It can't just be this little kissing and hit and run stuff on the Bible. We got to develop some habits, take some time. So he said, so you're fleeing, you're for luck, you're pursuing. You're going toward. Keep that mental for your follower. Righteousness, and that's a pure life here. See, I think of what righteousness means here is personal righteousness. I'm trying to live a righteous life. I'm trying to have my mouth clean and my mind clean and my actions clean. I'm working hard at that. You know it's going to be hard because the world's not like that. The world's the opposite, isn't it? Isn't that right? You know kind of what kind of environment you people are in. It's a filthy world we live in. It's a cesspool. So we got to really work at this. But we can do it by God's grace. We can encourage each other, can't we? We're following righteousness and faith. We got a strong faith. We're believing in God. Charity. We've got a heart full of love for other people. We're not thinking about ourselves all the time. Peace. And here's the third point. This is beautiful. Now, don't get this. I'm going to read this verse again. I want to get a running start and jump on that last point, and I'm going to be through. Ready? Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Here's my third point. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Our companions help us, don't they? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools should be destroyed. That's why I'm glad to see you young people here tonight, loving each other. And I want us to have a great time where, and like you prayed, Bruce, again, a good prayer about how we hope people can meet their mates in an environment like this and encourage each other. Isn't that great? That's the kind of companions we need. With them, call the Lord out of a pure heart.